What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 71 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Presented, as always, by TalkLoudRadio.com and coming at you live every Tuesday and Friday night on Facebook Live, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, and always streaming in the Going For Two app as well. All right, we have a special show tonight. Not our typical show. We usually do every other week this time of year, but we're doing a special Super Bowl preview show. And with me, joining me tonight, I've got, of course, my co-host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. Ready to talk some Super Bowl, even though I enjoy half of the matchup.
Yeah, good stuff. And also joining us, the returning guest, Mr. Boom Fantasy himself, Mr. Rick Rosen. How you doing today, man?
Mr. Boom Fantasy is kind of fun, but just Rick is okay. I was going to say Mr. Boom Fantasy is my father. I blew my own joke. That's an old dumb joke. But yeah, no, everything's great. I'm excited. I can't believe that Sunday's going to be the end of football season.
Yeah, it sucks, man. Trust me.
It's draft season, though. That's cool.
Ooh, yeah. I like the way that sounds. Forever the optimist. I love it.
Good stuff. And we got Rick over here in the dark.
Oh, I'm trying to set my light up. I'm trying to get us going on Boom. Let's keep it moving.
You're good. All right, well, this is how we're going to do tonight. The first half of the show, we'll do like a sort of a standard preview. We just go position by position and kind of give the matchups and what we think is going to happen in the Super Bowl. And then we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do some prop bets. Does that sound good, guys?
I love it.
All right, so we'll start off with some matchups here. We'll start off with the boring positions first and work our way up to the juicy stuff. So the first position I got here is the tight end position. Of course, you got Rob Gronkowski on one side, who's been sort of a shell of himself all season. And then we've got on the other side the combination of Everett and Higbee at the tight end combo. Ryan, which of these two tight end groups do you give the advantage to in this game?
Well, been an Everett truther since he last season, but it's Gronk, and he's kind of been holding back all year, and we saw it last week what we remembered of him. If he's going to show up for one game, dude, this is it. Everything's online. He's Gronk. He's still an animal. Might be the last game of his career for all we know. I don't think he's going to hold back.
All right, so you're leaning Gronk. What about you, Rick? Are you leaning Gronk as well, or do you think that the combination of the other two guys is better than Gronk?
Well, I think the Rams combination is really interesting because everyone knows the Rams run more 11 personnel than any team in the league. But what I really want them to do is try to get two tight ends on the field, take New England out of their base defense, and really try to out-muscle them to a Super Bowl win. And if that's the case, I think Everett could be really useful. But we all know this is going to be Gronk's swan song. So, you know, everybody worried about Gronk. He's an old man. He can't get down the field. This is his absolute let it all loose moment. You know what you do with your broken car, Jeff?
What's that?
You send it to the demolition derby. And that's what the Super Bowl is for Gronk. Well, nice. Demolition derby, just going to be barreling through Rams safeties on his way to his overprop. Nice. Wait, what? I mean,
that's the best analogy I could ever imagine for that.
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm leading Gronk as well. I mean, I kind of watched him in that last game. He looked healthier than he has looked off season. And if he has that 2 weeks to get healthy, I think, you know, that between Super Bowls, I think that he is ready to go. This could be his last game, maybe not. But I think that Gronk overall, even a halfway Gronk is still probably better than the two tight ends that the Rams have as far as a combination. So I'm with you both on there. All right, looking at these two defenses, the Pats overall in the season ranked 21st, Rams ranked 19th. What do you see with these defenses? Do you give an advantage one way or the other, Ryan?
I'm going to the advantage of the Rams. I mean, a lot of their rankings, they didn't have Talib most of the season. And Marcus Peters, while he makes big plays, he's not a lockdown corner. And they have the best interior defensive line in the league with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. That's the way to pressure Brady. He hasn't been sacked in, what, either playoff game?
None of them.
So yep. Far? Yep. No sacks in the playoffs. If anybody can get to him, it's the monster known as Aaron Donald, and he's better than him, and the rest of that defense is better than any of the Pats have. So I'm leaning their way. And isn't, I just saw a notification earlier, isn't Hightower hurt?
Oh, I didn't see that. Is he?
I think he is. I'm not 100% sure if he's out there, but I saw he wasn't healthy. So that hurts as well.
Yep. What about you, Rick? What are you giving the advantage to in these defenses? You like the Rams or the Pats?
Well, we all know it's all about that interior rush, right? That's what Aaron Donald's going to have to do. But the Patriots are known to take away your best thing. And I think that how they approach Aaron Donald, and to a larger extent, Sue, because God forbid, if Ndamukong Suh sees a single blocker, he could be a force in this game, but he's been on the outside a lot. It's going to be all about the middle of the field. And for both teams, really, I think that the Rams defense is really good and they slow down the rushing attacks of both the Cowboys and the Saints. But the Patriots have something that the Rams, that the Cowboys and Saints don't really have. And that's a fullback that they use on the majority of their rushing plays. It's a power scheme. So it'll be about how the Patriots control the middle of the field, because the Rams are one of the best slot defenses in the league, and that's where Julian Edelman gets most of his work. So both teams should be able to take away what either team does best. I tell you what I really think the Patriots should do, and I would love to see them do, is come out in some sort of cover one, completely sell out for Gurley, press man coverage with your top corners, and make Jared Goff win a Super Bowl. And if that's the case, big advantage to the Patriots. But on pure talent, I love this Rams defense. I think they're the superior defense. The coaching is probably better on the other side of the field. But Aaron Donald, I mean, Mark, you think James White's going to get loose? Mark Barron was a safety in college. He's a middle linebacker for the Rams. He's an animal. So I love the athletes on the Rams defense.
Yeah, I'm leaning. Go ahead.
I said, who's Gilmore going to cover, Cooks or Woods?
Well, I think no one person is going to cover Cooks. I think they'll probably keep two people on him with McCourty in the back, because we've seen McCourty's top end speed this season. So probably Woods, and that'll be really interesting. Honestly, I'm leaning Rams in this game, and if it were if Cooper Kupp were healthy, I don't know if the Patriots would be favored.
Wow. Yeah, good stuff there. Yeah, I think I'm leaning with y'all too. I think that Aaron Donald is probably the best player on the field, honestly, both sides of the ball. I think Aaron Donald is just that much of a beast. He can control the game, you know, on four or five plays. If he's getting Brady getting in his face, it's going to be a long day for Brady. So I think that I'm leaning the same way you both are with the Rams. The Pats, they do scheme better than everybody else. We all know that. They always take away your best weapon. But with the Rams, they got Cooks, they got Woods, they got Gurley, they got C.J. Anderson. They got a lot of weapons out there, so it's going to be hard to pick which one they're going to take away. But the Rams, I think, are the better overall talented team. Now, scheme-wise, it could be an issue, but I do like the Rams as well.
Oh, we got some light over there.
Beautiful. Do I look pretty?
You're beautiful.
Oh, dude. Yeah, right. Calm night.
I feel a cool breeze.
All right, let's get to some of these good positions here. Wide receiver, of course, the Rams have got three really good players. One of them, of course, you mentioned Cooper Kupp's not playing this game, out with an ACL injury. But Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods are both really good, and then Josh Reynolds has kind of come into his own at the end of the season there. And, of course, on the Pat side, you got four guys, really. Edelman, then Hogan, Dorsett, and Patterson kind of make up that receiver two, receiver three, the three of them together. What do you think of these receivers, Rick?
Well, I think the Rams have the more talented receivers. They have the tougher matchup. We've always talked about Brady's lack of weapons. I mean, Julian Edelman still on the top end. Like, how good is he really? He's just being put in great opportunities over and over again. And the real difference makers could be Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett, who Chris Hogan was such a massive disappointment for fantasy aspect all season. But Philip Dorsett's got a touchdown in every playoff game. Yep. So I got no reason to believe why he can't be an asset. And he's someone going into impending free agency. But personally, I think the Patriots need to take away Brandon Cooks, but I am a big revenge narrative guy. So Brandon Cooks has the Patriots revenge narrative, and something a lot of people aren't talking about, guys. He's got Super Bowl performance revenge narrative. He got knocked out after like six plays last year, right? Yep. He barely even played in the Super Bowl. So he's out to have a big game, regardless of how the Patriots set to defend him. I think the Rams have better top end talent, but when you got Tom Brady throwing to you, it makes the Patriots look so much better. But on pure talent, Rams by a million.
Yep, agreed. Go ahead, Ryan. What you got for this?
Yeah, it's the Rams. I mean, you know my love for Brandon Cooks. I've talked about him way too much on the show. I think he's a top-tier receiver and completely underrated because he's been traded around so much. People think he's just a big game or big play threat. He's more than that. He's more talented than any receiver on the field. Robert Woods has come to his own and been fantastic this year. Edelman's Edelman, but we're talking all around, though. Those Rams receivers. Then Josh Reynolds is good, too.
Yeah.
He's a red zone threat. He's big. He's strong. He's going to be a guy once you know, Cup's back. He's going to find himself a new contract somewhere. And, I mean, the rest of those Patriots receivers are the Island Misfit toys. Like, Philip Dorsett is, like, half of the player that people say Brandon Cooks is. Like, just a fast guy who breaks a big play every once in a while. And Chris Hogan's kind of disappeared, like you said. I'm leaning the Rams receivers in a hard way.
Yeah, I'm leaning Rams receivers as well, but I will say there's one X factor, and that's Cordell Patterson. I think Bill Belichick has got a package of plays that he's probably been holding back all season for this guy. He's a super athlete. We saw what he's been able to do in the return game. Obviously, he's caught screen passes. I think when he played for the Vikings, he had a 70-yard run for a touchdown. So this guy's got some super talent. And while I do lean the Rams overall, I think Patterson, I'm going to call it right now, Patterson's got at least one big trick-type play, either like a wide receiver screen or some kind of funky play where he gets the ball in open space. I think he can make a big play there. But overall, I think the Rams got more talent for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, just want to throw this out there because our shows are – this is time-stamped. Future Buffalo Bill Josh Reynolds. Okay, we can keep moving.
I mean, that would be really good. Yeah. I mean, as many big targets you can get for Josh Allen. Yeah. All for that.
Yep. All right. The running back position. Of course, we've got Mr. Todd Gurley, who's been in the news lately because he only had, I think, 4 carries in the last game. He hasn't looked healthy. CJ Anderson's kind of stepped into that role and been really good. And then, of course, on the other side, you got the three-headed monster with Sony Michel, James White, and Burkhead, who's now back in the lineup. Where are you leaning with the running backs, Rick?
Well, this is actually a question for your boom fantasy jackpots. It's who's going to have more rushing yards out of Todd Gurley, Sony Michel, CJ Anderson, and James White. So make sure you get in there. $1 wins $1,600 on Super Sunday. Wow. Sorry, I blacked out. No idea what I said. Anyway, the Rams have the best running back in football, Todd Gurley. But I haven't seen the sharp cuts that I need to see to know he's fully healthy. But make no mistake, the outcome of what the running backs do on either team is going to determine this game, both out of the backfield, where the Rams are strong in defense and the Patriots may not be, maybe a little bit more vulnerable. They got burned a couple of times by Damian Williams. But the versatility of the Patriots backfield, in addition to the blocking of James Devlin, is going to go a long way to their success. Both teams want to establish a power game for all the highlights and all the coaching, all the deep passing. This is going to be a game won by the power run scheme from either team. So I like Gurley. I think he's going to get the majority of the work. I think the narrative does work that he did just have a shaky start, dropped a pass for a pick, missed blitz pickup, and that's why he sat on the end. You know, CJ Anderson was a high end. It's back in the form, maybe challenges for MVP. But if the Patriots running backs can execute, they'll be the winning team.
Yep. Okay. All right, Ryan, what do you think of these running backs?
I mean, like you said, Todd Gurley's the best in the business. He's not only like he's kind of sat that last game, he had a week off. So expect him healthy, have a huge impact. And Sony Michel's broken out. The running back I'm watching right now is James White, man. Super Bowl, big games. That's Tom Brady's dude.
Yep.
All else fails, and the receivers are locked down. Aaron Donald's getting pressure up the middle. We're seeing dump offs to James White. I'm leaning the Rams way overall, but I think White might surprise the biggest game.
Yeah, I agree. I think White is sort of built for this kind of game. I think he shows up for these games. Tom Brady loves him. You know, he goes to him quite often. I think one of the playoff games, he had like 13 targets and 12 catches, something crazy like that. So definitely James White. I like the Rams running backs as well, like both of you did. And since I'm kind of making bold predictions, I predicted, you know, Cordell Patterson have a big play. I'm going to predict that the fumbling issues for Sony Michel rears his ugly head again.
Ooh.
And he fumbles in a very key moment in this game. So,
let's see.
Oh, God, I don't wish that on him.
So evil.
I like Sony Michel. I hate the Patriots, but I love Sony Michel.
I just feel bad for anybody that fumbles in a Super Bowl. Like, yeah. I feel so bad for
especially
them.
When you're a Patriots running back, because we know how
good that's actually. Oh, God, and he's a rookie, Jeff. That's so mean.
So we're now projecting Sony Michel to the Bills as well.
Nice.
Okay. From Georgia, it'll be so miserable.
All right, let's tackle the money position now. Of course, Tom Brady, the GOAT, as they call him, versus Jared Goff. You know, Goff is the young guy. I think I saw a stat where he is the the first or the youngest quarterback to be picked number one overall to be in the Super Bowl. I think he took 3 years to get there. The next closest was 4 years. So you got Goff, the up and comer, and you got Brady, of course, who's been there now 9 times. Who are you giving the advantage to? Let's go to Rick first.
Oh, I've been going first the last two. Let's go to Ryan first.
All right, Ryan.
Sorry, I don't want to take over, but
yeah. Also, biggest age gap ever, two quarterbacks.
Oh yeah,
it's like 17 years. How do you not lean Brady, man? Like, he's been there, he's done that. He is cerebral. He doesn't make mistakes. Goff showed he's been a little bit wide eyed. They've just had a lot more talent on that team than most teams they played. I'm leaning Brady, and where the Rams have won majority of the positions, Brady makes a difference.
Yep.
And we haven't had the offensive line helps them as much too, but Brady makes everybody better.
Agreed.
Edelman's a star with him. He makes chump receiver stars. There's no mistakes. Brady's the difference maker of the whole game.
Yep. What about you, Rick?
Well, I think it's evident that when the Patriots get into the playoffs that they got to put it in the hands of their best player. And that's why Brady's numbers have looked so good in the postseason and why his past Super Bowls have been good. But his past Super Bowls have been through the lens of shootouts and of late fourth quarter comebacks. Brady was not great against Atlanta, was not great against Seattle, and his team needed miracle plays and big catches to come up late. So he's been in adverse situations at the biggest stage, despite his record and his reputation. But the volume will be there for Tom Brady. And I voiced my concerns with Jared Goff when we talked about the defenses. I don't see why Bill Belichick doesn't just put hands in Goff's face and put pressure on the receivers and say, go make a play, young boy. So Bill Belichick usually does the most advantageous thing for his team. Sometimes it's really that simple, and he's got the best cover corner. So I'm worried about Jared Goff in this game. Both quarterbacks, I think, could throw an interception. And we're going to get to this later. But I do think there's a question for Boom Jackpots. Who will have more passing yards? It's got to be Brady, and it's not close.
Yeah. All right.
One thing you mentioned about like their game planning with them. A long time ago, I read Bill Belichick's book, and they went back to their first Super Bowl against the Rams.
Yeah.
It's real similar. You know what his game plan was? It was
take Marshall Faulk.
Yep. Hit him every single play.
Yeah.
Take him out of the game. Let Kurt Warner beat him.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound very different. Like, it's how you beat the Rams.
Yep.
Yeah.
It could be a throwback.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also how they tried to beat Eli Manning.
Yeah.
So that's just one of, you know, someone's the GOAT and someone's not. Sorry.
Are we saying Eli's the GOAT here?
Next segment. All right.
All right. So that, yeah, I'm with y'all. Brady obviously is the GOAT. I mean, he's got 9 Super Bowl appearances. He just keeps doing it over and over again. You think you can count him out. He's old. He's washed up. He does it again. So definitely going Brady as well here in this one, especially with just the experience that he has. I mean, this is his third straight Super Bowl. He's sort of ho-hum, let's do it again. So yeah, it's Brady hands down. All right, let's get into some of these storylines here. And you kind of touched on one a little bit earlier with Brandon Cooks. This is his second game in a row now with the injured with the revenge narrative, where he had the Saints last game, where he was basically drafted to the Saints, then traded to the Patriots. So revenge narrative part two. What do you think he's going to do in this game, Rick?
Personally, I want him to have a big game, but I'm worried that the Patriots are going to take him out of the game. I think the Rams will try to move him around, get him loose, and he'll be the fly guy, as he is in his entire career. His career is defined by running the Y and stretching the defense. So even if he doesn't get a single target, just by running deep, commanding two, pulling safeties away, like, it's really hard for the Patriots to do that cover one, press man coverage, stack the box that we talked about, and double Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Right? That I believe that requires 12 players. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Cooks. And they did such a good job containing Tyreek Hill, but I think a lot of that was just exterior pressure and keeping Mahomes in the pocket long enough that Hill couldn't really get down the field or make that second break to get into open space for like a 90-yard tote. So it'll be interesting to see if the Rams' offensive line gives Goff that time to let Brandon Cooks get deep. I want Brandon Cooks to have a big game, but I'm just not sure.
All right, good stuff, Ryan. I know you love Brandon Cooks, man. What do you think of this?
I think Brandon Cooks has a big game. I don't think it comes how we expect it to come. I think it's going to be more volume than big play, because, like you said, Patriots are going to try to take him away, and chances are they're going to give him room because they're not going to be able to double team him, which means he can kind of kill underneath. And the Brandon Cooks narrative is always deep play guy, and that's wrong. So as long as he doesn't get concussed.
Sorry.
It wasn't us on that podcast earlier in the year talking about that, was it?
I mean, it's pretty much my biggest hill to die on, so there's a good chance it was.
Okay, it might make sense. But yeah, Brandon Cooks, fantastic. Cooks is a fantastic route runner. He can get open. I think he has a big game. And like I said, he can't double him. No matter how much you want to see it happen, he's got to get open.
Yep. I think I'm with y'all once again. This can be kind of a boring podcast that we keep agreeing on everything. But Brandon Cooks, I'm the same way as Rick. I want to see him have a big game. I want to see the Patriots lose, and I think that's going to require Cooks to have a big game. I think that even like Rick said, if he's running down the field, pulling safeties and trying to double-team him, that's going to help out the offense overall. Whether he gets targeted or not, just the threat of him out there is definitely worth it. But I think he does get free on at least one good play. I'm going to call it like a 60-yard touchdown play. Maybe early in the game before the Patriots really lock down their defense. I think that they might surprise them a little bit, but I love Brandon Cooks in this game. I think that I kind of agree with Ryan as well as far as his volume. I think that that's the perfect way to sort of beat that narrative is to give him this volume that he doesn't normally get. You know, give him 10, 12, 13 targets, you know, even if they're just underneath drop-offs, you know, just to give him that the touchy of the ball, just to sort of get him in that open space. I think I like that play as well to go with the volume as well.
Yeah, man, you get him the ball in open space. It just takes one guy to miss.
Yep.
And it's six.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Tom Brady and the Rob Gronkowski retirement talks. I mean, Tom Brady came out and said there was zero chance he was retiring. Gronk, I don't think, has made such a proclamation just yet. There's still rumors that he's going to retire. What do you think about this, Ryan?
I say Brady plays till he's like 60 because I don't know if he's human. He might be a cyborg. I think Gronk wants different things in his life, man. He's talked about pro wrestling. He's talked about life as an actor. I think that should be your next boom prop bet is what Gronk does in his career after the NFL. But like,
free prop contest for Sunday. Free prop contest. I'm giving away a hoodie like this. This one. Not exactly this one. This is mine.
I think Patriots win. Gronk's done. And Brady keeps going.
All right. What about you, Rick?
Pats win. Gronk's done. Shows up at WrestleMania. Gets tapped out by Rousey. Rams win. Maybe Wade Phillips is done. Keep an eye out for that. But there's absolutely a 0.0% chance that Tom Brady retires on Sunday.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I think Tom Brady's not going to retire. He's been too good. I think the Gronk thing makes sense because he had sort of a bad season. I know he's come on to the last couple games, but he's been injured all season. He's been injured for most of his career, really. I mean, a lot of games he's missed because of injury. I think he's missed Super Bowls before, too, with injury. And I just think that it's time for him to hang it up. And like Ryan said, he has options outside of here. If he wants to go be a color commentator, if he wants to go act, if he wants to go whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, we both thought about it.
Gronk is a color commentator.
Yeah. You see what happens when Tyreek Hill goes for 69 yards.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, do you guys both agree that there's 0.0 chance Brady retires on Sunday? Zero.
Zero.
0.0.
Yeah, I don't think there's no way.
Brady is the Bob Barker of the NFL. He's not a human being. He's never retiring.
Never retiring. Yeah, I agree. I think.
I mean, you see someone that is retired, but okay. I get it.
I'm shitty. Man, I work out. I'm not home during the afternoons.
Yeah, so I'm just a young man like that.
All right, so let's talk about Todd Gurley a little bit. Is he actually healthy? Does he get more than the 4 carries he received in this last game? Is he a factor in this game, or do we see the reemergence of C.J. Anderson once again, Ryan?
I'm going Gurley has a huge game. I mean, they've been real coy about it. They've been like, oh, we're going to go the hot hand, this and that. That's what we did last game. We'll follow this game. It's the Super Bowl, man. I don't care if he's hit or not. They're going to give him the needle if he is. He's going to play. He's the best running back in the league for a reason. He's going to be all out this game. There's no way this dude's not majority of the carries.
Yeah, there's nothing to save him for. This is it right here.
That's it. You go all out with this.
What about you, Rick? What do you think of Todd Gurley? Is he healthy?
I think we could see something as high as 80-20 snap share on Sunday. I think this is going to be a nice little Todd Gurley showcase, because when Gurley's on the field, the Rams offense is more dynamic. CJ Anderson saw something like 4% of passing targets on plays he's on the field. And their play action is much lazier with the CJ Anderson inside running. So I think Ian Fahey had a thread about it. For as much as people hate on him, it was a pretty good thread. The way that the Rams run the stretch action with Gurley, a play that they don't run with CJ Anderson because he's too plodding, he's too thick with three C's, that is so much more engaging. And that is what you need to do to freeze the defense to unlock these big plays. Not to mention Gurley's effectiveness in the screen game, which is one of the reasons that I think the Rams can kill the Patriots. If they use that screen game effectively, they can have a monster game. And I think that's one of the reasons I think Gurley could be MVP, because even if Jared Goff gets these passing yards, I think a lot of it could be through Gurley screens. So Gurley could end up with 200 total yards and be good enough to claim MVP.
Yeah, I'm with y'all. I think Gurley is healthy. I think they're going to try to ride him as much as possible. CJ Anderson's a great fill-in. I think he'll come in when he needs a break, but I think they're going to ride Gurley 100%. And you know, like I said, there's no more games after this. This is it, the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
You're not saving him for next week or the week after that. This is it. So you got all offseason to recover. You probably want to recover as a Super Bowl champion and not, you know, on the opposite side of that. So Gurley will ride it out one way or the other.
All right, side note. C.J. Anderson's a one-year deal with them, right?
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Where's C.J. Anderson next year? And does he get a decent contract because of his playoff performance?
That's tough. I mean, I got to think about that one, because there's so many good free agent running backs out there.
They're okay, other than Bell.
You got Tevin Coleman. You got...
I don't think Coleman's good, though. But
I mean, we can just all agree that CJ Anderson was a desperation signing, cut from the Panthers. He was on the Raiders for 2 days.
Yep.
Like, everybody had a chance to sign CJ Anderson, and everyone passed on him multiple times, right? And without injuries to, I think John Kelly got hurt, or Malcolm Brown got hurt. One of them got hurt that necessitated the CJ Anderson signing. So if you ask me where CJ Anderson is next year, I'd probably say the couch.
Dude,
recency bias isn't just fantasy football, though. It's the NFL with guys like that.
Yeah, but I'm not sure he wants to. You never know. I can't speak for a guy.
What about in a Redskins uniform? I know they got Geist there, but Geist is, you know, he's coming off an injury. Adrian Peterson's like 175 years old. So he's not going to probably play another year. I could see him going to the Redskins.
That would be team destination knee-jerk reaction, recency bias, impulse buy.
That's the Redskins for you. Trust me, I live right in D.C.
That's an excellent, excellent observation, honestly.
Nice.
All right, let's go ahead and let's do a hypothetical here. Let's say you could take one non-quarterback player off of these teams. Which player are you taking off? If you're the Rams, take off one player that's non-quarterback for the Patriots. And vice versa, if you're the Patriots, which player are you taking out for the Rams?
Ryan. Gee, I wonder who'd you take out for the...
Let's start with you, Ryan.
If I'm the Rams, it might get a little weird. I want to take away Stephon Gilmore, man. He's been lights out all year. He's locked down every team's top receiver.
Except
he's done
Corey
a hell of
Davis.
A job.
Except
he's counter, he's all pro this year. That's who I'm taking away. He's been... He's not replaceable. All the running backs, they rotate, replaceable. I'm sorry, Edelman still is, and even Gronk to an extent. But a lockdown corner, nah, you can't replace that.
All right. What about if you're the the Patriots taking away a Rams player?
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, that's the.
I mean, Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in football, man. He has the chance to just destroy Brady's day. He has, I saw it the other day, since he's been in the league, he has the most sacks by any defensive tackle in the NFL by like 11.
Yeah, it's not close.
It's not, nothing he does is close. He's the most dominant defensive player in the league. I don't care if you're talking Khalil Mack, you're talking like someone like Jalen Ramsey. Aaron Donald's unbelievable. It's him.
All right. All right, Ryan, I don't know if you heard me or not, but I think Stephon Gilmore, the one player he didn't shut down all year was Corey Davis, which I'm sure you remember that. We kind of had a little bit of a podcast bet on that one.
You guys can finish the show without me.
Jeez, that's unbelievable.
All right, Rick,
what I love you got Corey for these, Davis.
What you got for this one?
I'm going to act like this is a draft, and I'm not going to pick the same guys. I'm just going to continue to pick from each squad, if that's okay, because we're all going to say Aaron Donald, who, by the way, has the fastest time to quarterback of anybody with at least 5 sacks this season. Wow. So not only is he getting more, he's getting it faster.
Do you guys see the picture he posted where he's just the most enormous human being on the planet?
Yeah, he's absolutely shredded. He's a superhuman. He's a superhero. And if he has 3 sacks on Sunday, he's going to moonwalk into the Hall of Fame. He's already a fringe candidate. I don't think anybody would debate that. But I can't say him. We just said him. So if I'm going to take away another Ram, I'm all about the interior. So I'm going to take away Andrew Whitworth. He's the veteran of the Rams offensive line. You take away him, you get that outside rush on Jared Goff, the same outside rush that made Rivers uncomfortable, the same outside rush that made Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable. 50% of plays, their pressure rate has been astronomical in the postseason. And if you take away their best tackle, they're going to fold. And if Jared Goff folds, this game's over. On the other side, we took away Gilmore, got to take away a non-quarterback. So bleep it. I'm taking Bill Belichick off the field. One of the most important things Belichick can do is his second half adjustments. That's one of the reasons the Patriots are so good. They're one of the most well-coached teams. And don't forget, Belichick added a package of plays for the Chiefs game in the hotel on Sunday morning. So any late adjustments, that's Belichick shooting from the hip. Not in this world. We just pulled him off the field.
Right. I didn't know coach was available or he would.
Gilmore's a good pick. No, Gilmore's a very good pick.
Leave it to Rick to find the curveball there.
I'm cheating.
All right, so if we're gonna do this draft style, like kind of Rick just sort of ad-libbed that, I'll go ahead and take that route. I'm taking away James White from the Patriots. I just think he's a sort of Mr. Super Bowl. He's their third down back. If the Rams do get some kind of lead, he's the guy that could be on the field. He's also their best blocking running back as well. Michelle struggles in that sense. So I think that James White is for that safety blanket, and without him, the Patriots will struggle. On the other side of it, I'm just going to take away Todd Gurley. I mean, he's the best running back in the league, all year, other than those last few games when he was injured. I think that he's going to be healthy coming into this game. So if I can take him off the field, I'm going to do it. That Rams offense is not the same without him. I know they got C.J. Anderson, but let's face it, he's nowhere near as dynamic as Todd Gurley. Like Rick said, he doesn't catch passes out of the backfield. He doesn't run the stretch play, which is a lot of McVay's offense is throughout that stretch play with play action and actually handing the ball off in the stretch run. So I'm taking Todd Gurley off the field.
I love that.
All right.
Simple and easy.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. All right, guys, take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk some prop bets.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead. It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when nickels down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is who's gonna run this town tonight.
guys. Welcome back. As always, after the show is done, we are syndicated in all your major podcast networks, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, pretty much anywhere that has a podcast, you can find us. Just search for Talk Loud Radio, all one word. Also, streaming in the Going For Two app, like I mentioned, free for iOS and Android. All right, guys, let's talk some prop bets. I asked y'all before the show to bring three or four of your favorite prop bets to the show. We'll talk about them. We'll kind of pick our favorites and go from there. So we'll go with you, Ryan, first. Give us your first prop bet you got. Ryan, I think you're on mute. Ryan, can you hear us?
Yeah, my bad. I muted during time off.
All right, so go ahead and give us your first prop bet.
I'm going to have Brandon Cooks over $115.
Over a $115. Wow, that's a high over there. Over and under. Wow.
I feel good about it.
His over is 74.5, Ryan.
Oh, easily.
Easy. Oh, wow. So you're going,
I'm feeling that.
Yeah, all right. So you're going over 115. So okay. You're definitely above that 74.5 yards for sure. What about you, Rick? You think he's over 75 yards? And then what's your prop bet?
Yeah, I'm still on the fence. I felt really good about this in the revenge narrative about a week in around the Pro Bowl, and now I'm starting to talk myself off of it, hearing about double coverage and the way they held Tyreek Hill in check. So I'm a little sour on it. What I do like to start things off is Rex Burkhead anytime touchdown. That's going off at +230. That's a real good value. Two touchdowns against the Chiefs. When they get inside the five, they love getting multiple running backs on the field. That's Burkhead and Devlin in the power running game. If the Patriots want to go between the tackles at the goal line, they go Burkhead. We talked about Sony Michel, little fumble concern. Rex Burkhead is the guy Belichick trusts in a variety of situations. He's a Swiss Army knife, and their distribution and touches between White, Burkhead, and Devlin has been pretty much even. It was in the Chiefs game, so +230 for a guy that when the Patriots get close, they trust. I love that number.
That's just one touchdown. That's the
anytime mark. Anytime.
All right. I do like that. I think we saw that Burkhead is trusted down in the red zone. Obviously Michelle has his fumbling issues. He hasn't had them lately, but I know in college he had them early in the season. Had him in the preseason, so yeah, Burkhead definitely is a touchdown threat for sure. All right, my favorite one is this. How many plays will Tony Romo predict correctly before the snap? So I don't know if y'all saw this tweet by Wade Phillips, or maybe it was like a comment, but they asked him, you know, how are they going to, you know, match up with this with the Patriots defense? He says, I'm just going to get a headset with Tony Romo in my ear whenever he calls the play beforehand so we can make sure we get the right defense in. So the over-under is 7.5 plays. And I think I'm going to go under on this one only because it's Bill Belichick and McVay. I think they're both offensive geniuses. I think they're going to change things up. They're going to make things look like one way and completely run something completely different. So I think Romo gets a couple of them wrong and then stops predicting them, you know, through the game. So I think that I'm going to go under 7.5 plays for Romo predicting the correct before the snap.
Yeah, I'm going to go under on that. It's getting too much with the Romo thing. Romo can get three plays left, right, through an entire game, and Twitter's going to blow up and say that why is Tony Romo not head coach for every team in the league? I'm going with the under on this. He's great. He gets a lot of plays right, but like I said, it's two of the best coaches in the league.
Yep.
It's not happening.
What about you, Rick?
I have a TV source that says that this is a good bet, that under 7.5 is a good bet from source inside the TV world. And that's right. All I'm going to say about that.
All right, good stuff. All right, Ryan, what's your next prop bet you got?
Ndamukong Suh over 2.5 penalties.
2.5 penalties.
What? These aren't the. Where are you get Ryan?
Yeah,
I'm a degenerate gambler. You got to come with real props. What is this?
Give me my computer froze. Made one up. You're up. I'll catch up. Literally, my internet just froze on me.
I want to bet on your picks.
All right,
you're gonna get my leg broken by my bookie. Wait, what? I'm gonna take.
you're not coming with another one. My bad.
I'm gonna not, take. I don't will Tom that. Brady throw an interception? Yes, minus 115. Because when you throw, when you get interior pressure, your arm gets hit. Ask Drew Brees. That creates these duck balls. The Rams have aggressive corners. Aqib Talib has won big games over the Patriots as a Denver Bronco. He's not afraid of Tom Brady. Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, and all those linebackers, they're going to pop a ball up and get an easy interception. I normally do not pick Brady throwing an interception, but I feel really good about this one this year.
Yeah, I think one interception, if it was 1.5, then maybe not, because I mean, you get through at least two. But at one pick, I think I'm going to take that as well. I think he throws at least one pick, maybe even early in the game. I think that eventually he'll sort of settle in, but I think early in the game he might throw one pick. All right, the next one I got on mine is how many replays will be shown of Ted Rath holding back McVay? So obviously this has been a big thing on Twitter and such. They actually have a guy that is there to pull McVay back from, you know, rushing onto the field or going after the refs. That's his basic job, is to sort of hold him back. So replays of him being pulled back is set at a 1.5 times. And I'm going to take the over on this. I think that they do show at least two times of Ted Rath holding back McVay, maybe once in the first half, once in the second half. I think that this is a storyline that they want to sort of talk about a little bit. It's been all over Twitter, and I think that they're going to show it at least twice, if not more. What do you think, Rick?
I love it. Once early and then once late. If the Rams are able to get a big play late, you know they're going to go to it. Because the key hack here, Jeff, is Ted Rath stands behind Sean McVay.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is get Sean McVay excited and Ted Rath gets on the screen.
Yep.
It's kind of a BS prop. So if anywhere legal that I can find it, that's something that I really like.
Yep. Agreed. All right, Ryan, you got a prop bet for us pulled up yet?
Oh, I didn't get to answer that question, right?
Oh yeah. Go ahead and answer that question and then give us your prop bet. Sorry.
I think 100% will be over it. Like, it's not going to be close. Once something makes the news, they're just going to look for it over and over again. If it was 4 or 5, I'd probably still say the over. Like, no.
All right.
So, will either kicker hit the upright or crossbar on a missed field goal or extra point in the Super Bowl?
Beautiful.
That one's tough.
I'm going no on this one. I think these are two of the best in the business. Even though we've seen nothing but shit kicking all playoffs.
Yep.
I'm going to go with no on this.
All right. What about you, Rick? You got a no or a yes on that one?
It's interesting because I've been keeping an eye on Greg Zuerlein practice reports for this exact reason.
Really?
Not necessarily for the doink, but for the will he miss a kick? Because, like you said, these are two of the best kickers in the game. I love Gatron. Probably taking the over 47.5 longest field goal kicking prop. But a doink is such a hard place. When I'm laying out so many bets for the Super Bowl, I just can't either take a crazy minus bet or and then a plus bet for a doink. It's just such a silly thing. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like I have some control over the other bets, like some edge. The doink is just so insanely random. I love that it exists this year. If the Bears were in the Super Bowl, I'd put my life savings on it.
Yeah, I'm going with no as well. Like you said, perfect conditions in the Super Bowl. There's not going to be wind or anything crazy. Two of the best kickers. The only way I could see it possibly happening is if, like, it comes down to the end of the half and Zuerlein goes out there for like a 58 or 59 or 62 yarder, something just crazy where he's trying to make it a long distance and it hits that, you know, crossbar. But I think if we're playing just this game as in perfect conditions, there's no chance that there's any doink. So I'm going with no on that as well.
How are we on a miss overall?
Yeah, I think there'll be a miss. Yeah, I think there'll be at least one miss. I think there will be a opportunity where there's like a long field goal that they're going to take and they're going to miss it. So I'm going to go with they're going to miss one, but it won't doink. All right, Rick, let's go to you. What's your next prop bet?
My next prop bet. Oh, I got tiny font here. By the way, Zuerlein, yes, to miss a field goal is plus 230. So that's also not bad. Okay, this is one that I'm a big fan of. Who will the MVP winner thank first? Now, this is a long-held theory that I've had. The favorite is teammates. Why is it's plus 160, so still a good value. And why is that, gentlemen? Because Tom Brady always thanks his teammates first. So if you think Tom Brady is going to win MVP, don't take him to win MVP where he is minus 120. Take MVP to thank his teammates first at plus 160. That's the smart way to spend your money. If you think anyone else is going to win MVP, you take thanks God first at plus 175. I think this is, I'm probably going to bet both. I think this is a phenomenal bet. This is one of the things I'm most locked in on, MVP thank you speeches. It's hard because it's going to be the end of the night. Everyone's going to be leaving the Super Bowl party. You'll probably have a little buzz. You have to wait around to see who the MVP thanks first. But I swear on everything I know about football, Jeff, it's like this because Tom Brady does not thank God first. Tom Brady always thanks his teammates first. But I believe that if Jared Goff or Todd Gurley win MVP, they will thank God first. Thank you. I'm an NFL analyst.
Good stuff. What about you, Ryan? What do you think on that one?
I was just flabbergasted. I would definitely have said God, but after knowing this, I'm going to have teammates.
Pretty convincing, yeah. All right, the next one I got, we're going to go with one of just the basic ones, and you kind of talked about it a little bit already. It's just the MVP odds. Obviously, the two quarterbacks are the two top favorites. Is there any chance that you're going to bet on any other guy besides Tom Brady or Jared Goff? Rick, will go to you first.
To win MVP?
To win MVP, yep.
Oh, yeah, I love Todd Gurley as MVP. I think, like I said, with the screen game, with total yards, rushing, receiving, that offensive line, they are an historically good offensive line. And the Patriots' offensive line has been really good, too. But they haven't been... They haven't had to face Aaron Donald, and they have to in the Super Bowl. The Patriots were able to push around the Chiefs' run defense. Okay, everyone pushed around the Chiefs' run defense. The Chiefs had to put, you know, the Patriots got to push around the Chargers. The Chargers put seven defensive backs on the field. It was the worst game plan of the entire 2018-19 postseason. This is going to be a task unlike anything they face. It'll be interesting to see if the Patriots can run the ball at all. Meanwhile, the Rams have had to deal with some pretty tough run defenses, and they were all over the Cowboys and did a great job pushing around the Saints to a certain extent, at least to the point where they were able to move the ball when they didn't get away from the run down two scores. So I think that combination sets up for Todd Gurley's MVP. If you want to really chuck some money around, man, nobody's better than Aaron Donald. It'd be so sick to watch him win MVP. If he gets two strip sacks, why not? Yep. Why not? But if I'm going to bet any Ram to win MVP, it's not going to be Jared Goff.
All right. Good stuff. Ryan, what about you? What are you going with for your bet on MVP? Anybody other than Tom Brady or Jared Goff?
I'm going to say James White. What's his payout on that, Rick?
Plus 1,200.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I mean, he's been nothing but a killer in big games.
Should have won MVP the year he had the Super Bowl. He should have won MVP that year.
Should have won it. Yeah, should be a two-time MVP now.
Yep.
James White getting 125 total yards isn't out of the question in my eyes. Get in the end zone. I think he has the opportunity to do it. Will he get the recognition? No, but the performance should be there. So I'm going with James White.
All right, good stuff. All right, Ryan, you got another prop bet for us?
I do. Julian Edelman. Over 53 yards. Sorry, I went dyslexic for a second.
Over 53 yards. What do you think?
I'm going with the over on that, but
Edelman over. It feels low, but I will take the over there.
Yeah, considering that he's he has been the Mr. Consistency all season. I think if you're playing fantasy football, I think he had quote unquote no bust games all year. He averaged like 16 fantasy points a game and had no bust games, which would be, 50 plus yards and about four, five, six receptions. So I think that he is definitely going to be over that in this game. He's Tom Brady's go-to guy. I think he's going to get the volume. I think that's going to be over as well. All right, the next one I got on here doesn't really involve the football game at all, and that's Donald Trump total tweets on the Super Bowl February 3rd, plus minus 6, and I'm gonna go over on that one. I think last year they had the same thing last year. I think it was 7 last year, and he went over the 7, I believe. I just looked at his Twitter feed right now, and he's got 5 for today. which is just an ordinary Friday. So 6 tweets, Super Bowl time, when he knows everyone's sort of on Twitter and on, you know, watching the Super Bowl. I think he wants that audience. I think he goes over that 6 tweets for sure. What about you, Rick? What do you think of that one?
Just to note, my Edelman prop is 82 yards. So let me get in touch with whatever sports book you're at, Ryan, and I'll dump my life savings into that over 53 yards. But my bookie's 82. That's insane. Maybe my guy's just trying to dick me. But so maybe I know something you don't, Jeff. Donald Trump is scheduled to appear on Face the Nation on CBS News at 10 a.m. So it'll be interesting to see if instead of his normal tweet rampage in the morning, instead he's preparing to do a national media appearance, something he doesn't do every Sunday morning, if that in fact brings his tweet level down. Because he's not just going to be lounging around in his whatever pajamas. The F he wears, tweeting, you know, he's going to be preparing to do a major political talk show. So I'm thinking that'll bring him down. He's not much of a day tweeter. So I was actually thinking about pressing under on this.
All right. Interesting. All right, Ryan, be the tiebreaker. You going over under 6 tweets from Donald Trump on the Super Bowl. It's the whole day, February 3rd, the whole day.
I'm going to say over, and I'm going to say majority are going to happen near or around the Super Bowl. And I'm going to say, especially if the Patriots win.
Interesting.
I think there's I think there's more if the Patriots win than if the Rams do, because his relationship with that organization.
That's true. I mean, he can get all those tweets afterwards just congratulating the Patriots on, you know, on their victory. I
mean, Brady and Belichick each get an individual one.
Right.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep, that's a good call. That's a very good call. I didn't even think about that angle, but good stuff there. All right, Rick, you got another one for us?
Let's see if I got something in my bag of tricks here. I'm really big on the MVP thing. I'm probably going over on the anthem, but I'm still doing more research watching old Gladys Knight clips, so nothing definitive on that front. I do like Rams to outrush the Patriots. If you can find that, the spread is like nothing. It's literally like even, like a yard or a half yard. I do think the Rams will outrush the Patriots. The Patriots should be committed to their ground game, and Sony Michel will probably have more carries than any other back. But I think that the combination of Gurley plus CJ Anderson, plus maybe the Rams are ahead by a couple scores in the second half. What? I think the Rams could easily outrush the Patriots.
All right, good stuff.
And big playability. Sorry, one more.
What was the over-under on that one again?
It's just a head-to-head.
Oh, it's just a head-to-head. Just who has more rushing yards.
Yeah.
Agreed, 100%. Yeah, I think the Rams are – they definitely want to run the ball more. They have the volume. I agree 100%. I think it's going to be the Rams for sure. All right, Ryan, you got any comments on that one? And then you got one more prop bet?
I'm going to say the Rams on that one, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than we're making it out to be, because the Patriots do run the ball and they have a ton of backs. If there was any spread whatsoever, I'd probably lean away from it. But I'm going to kind of stick with the running backs. I'm not sure what the prop is on this. You have those in front of you. Is there a prop on most total yards by the Patriots running backs there?
Let's see what if I got.
No. What do you mean?
Which Patriots running back has most total yards?
No, that's not a thing.
Nope, there's not one on there. Let's see. There's one. How many Patriots players would have a rushing attempt? And the over under is 5.5. So,
oof, that's a lot.
That would be James White, Burkhead, Sony Michel,
Cordell Patterson.
Devlin probably gets one. Cordell Patterson probably gets one.
Devlin.
And that might be it. That's 5. I don't know if you can get any more out of that. Unless Tom Brady, I guess Tom Brady's rushing.
A Neal. A Neal would be a rush attempt too.
This is true. So that could be 6 right there. So that I might go over on that one.
What do you think about over under 2.5 players to throw a pass?
So that would be someone besides a quarterback. I think it's pretty good. I think that we got Julian Edelman, former college quarterback. I think that's definitely a possibility there. I think I'm going to go over on that one as well.
I'm going to go under on that. I don't think either team's going to have to do it, because neither defense is really going to be showing up enough where they have to pull those trick plays for those quarterbacks.
Interesting. I do got one more that I thought is worth sharing and smashing, and that is Gronk is at 55.5 yards, and I think that's an over worth smashing. But Ryan, one more?
Yeah, I was going to say over. I didn't, but I'm definitely going over on that. We talked about it earlier. It's Gronk. Yeah. Wow, that bottle of water. Gronk farewell tour. I think Gronk has a huge game.
Yep.
Hey, going back to MVP odds, what was Gronk's?
I don't have.
Let me Jeff pull it up here. That's, Gronk is plus 1,600. He's way down the list.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's way down the list. So, yeah, I like that one. It could definitely be Gronk and sort of that sort of, you know, going out retirement, MVP, Super Bowl winner.
That yeah, would be, what would he have to do to win that and not have Brady win it?
Yeah, it would be tough because if you figure if he catches like three touchdowns, they're all Brady's touchdowns. So why wouldn't Brady get the MVP? It'll have to be some kind of ridiculous long run, like a tight end screen where he breaks some 60-yard, you know, run down the field.
Yeah.
Something where it's not really Brady getting the touchdown for him.
If he goes like 10, 165 and two totes, is that enough?
Yeah,
that's a monster game.
It's a monster game.
Huge game.
Yep, for a tight end, that would probably do it. That'd be tough.
Plus, we got Tony Romo out there just talking about his blocking, so that'll sway the voters.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's see if I've got anything else that we haven't already talked about here. I got my thing pulled up. I thought I had one more that I wanted to talk about. Sorry, this is bad radio right now. Oh.
I got. I mean, I'm big on the Rams early. The Patriots have been slow starters in multiple Super Bowls. I got, you know, Gurley's over. If you believe in Todd Gurley, you get a lot of value for his yardage and touches because they have to spread some of it to CJ Anderson. So if you really believe in Todd Gurley, go ahead and take your Gurley overs and Anderson unders and cash out hard on your conviction.
Yep.
Or go broke.
All right, the last one I wanted to talk about, I think this is an easy over for me, is how many times during the broadcast will they mention Sean McVay's age? The over-under is set at 1.5, which basically they mentioned it twice, and that's over for me 100%. I think they mentioned it at least twice, especially like you said, Ryan, with the age difference between him and Bill Belichick. You know, I think that they're going to talk about him being the youngest NFL coach in the Super Bowl. It's an easy over for me.
Yeah, I think if that was a drinking game, you'd be able to get drunk off it, so I'm going over.
What do you think, Rick? Over on that one?
I think you're going to get the opportunity at the beginning of the game, and then it just depends on how the end of the game is going, because if they have to fill, if the Rams are up big, they'll constantly be going back to their talking points of the age, and then you get your sideline guy, and then you get the, you know, all the narratives that you want. They all fill in with game script, so if you think the Rams are going to win and win handily, that's going to be a smash, of course. I'm worried about them building it up in pregame and then not talking about it during the broadcast because they've talked about it in pregame so much.
That's a good point. All right. Anybody else got any more before we head out?
I'm good on the prop bets.
Rick, you got any more? I see you deep in your phone over there. You got one more for us?
Yes. Sorry.
All right, it was dead radio.
Nope. Oh, yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, no, here it is. It was the bottom one. It's the shortest touchdown length. Everybody's been banging on this under 1.5 yards so much that it's close to minus 200, under 1.5 yards, shortest touchdown distance. I'm going over because I trust the running backs to get it in from 2 yards out. So I like Burkhead, I like Gurley, I even like CJ Anderson, I even like James Devlin. So everybody's going under. I see value in over 1.5 yards, shortest touchdown. That was the one I was looking for. I apologize for the deader.
That's all right. Ryan, what do you think of that one? Over, under 1.5 yards for the shortest touchdown.
I think I'm going to agree with him on the over on it, man. Those guys, there's so much talent on both those teams to get in. Like, there's no bad running backs. Even Tom Brady can fall forward 2 yards. And we've seen it how many times. I'm going to be over on that.
Love it.
All right. I'm going under. I think that Tom Brady has a sneak from the half-yard line. And I think that he gets a touchdown that way. And I think that's going to be my – I think I'm going to go under. It's a little bit risky, I think, because 1.5 isn't a whole lot of yards. So I think that Tom Brady gets his rushing touchdown from a half a yard away. All right, guys, this has been a lot of fun. This is not something I normally do. I'm kind of out of my element here with the prop bets. I've never really been into the prop bet thing, but I know, Rick, you sound like you're really into it. You've kind of done some research and some analysis of the prop bets. It's kind of cool. I kind of like that.
Degenerate nation, baby. We out here.
All right.
Let me get that 53.5, Ryan.
All right, let's go around the room and just kind of give us your Twitter handle. If you want to plug anything, Rick will go to you first.
You know what it is, y'all. Boom DFS, boom fantasy. If you've never tried it, there's never been a better time. Why? Because there's a free contest. It's just props. We got the coin flip. We got which commercial is going to be first, soda, beer, or something else. There's going to be which song is Maroon 5 going to play first. It's a silly, fun prop contest, but it's free money and a free hoodie. So why wouldn't you download it, check it out? And if you're going to put a couple bucks in, our $1 jackpot. It's $1, four questions. Who's going to have more yards? Who's going to have more of this or that? $1 to win $1,600. You can't afford not to play. If you're going to play a showdown for DraftKings or a single game contest at FanDuel, you'd be stupid to not put $5 into Boom because your odds are much better for a much bigger prize. All thanks right. for having me on.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Twitter handle. You give us a Twitter handle?
Oh, at the Rick Rosen at Boom DFS.
All right. Good stuff. All right, Ryan, where can we find you at?
I had a hard time following that one up. Find me at Ryan Searfoss at Fantasy FB Connect. Had a mock draft. Come on, tell me much you love or hate your favorite team's pick.
All right. Yeah, good stuff. You can find that mock draft on goingfor2.com.
Should have brought that up.
Yeah, released, I believe, yesterday, right? I think it's all 32 teams in the first round. Yes. It's gotten some positive feedback. I haven't had too much negative feedback. So either they think you're a genius, Ryan, or they just haven't done enough research yet to really argue with you, I believe.
I really wanted to argue. I've never had an article where somebody hasn't complained yet. So someone please come shit on me.
All right. So if you're a draft enthusiast out there, go check out the article and argue with Ryan. He's dying to do that. All right, guys. For Ryan, for Rick, I'm Jeff. You can find me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. That's it. That's a wrap, guys. Have a good night.